Well, it's the first Sunday of Lent, and they say confession is good for the soul. And so therefore, today I confess to you, my brothers and sisters, that I am not Sam McDonald, Director of Mission for the Episcopal Church. Sam, our guest preacher for today, sends his apologies. He was unable to get a flight out of Columbus, Ohio yesterday. It was canceled on him. And so he was very much looking forward to the visit and is very committed to coming. And so we will reschedule it sometime in the future. And we'll look forward to welcoming him when he does. So as I was rapidly putting this homily together, it occurred to me how very fitting it is that we're reading Mark, because Mark is the hastiest of all the Gospels. Mark is terse, to the point, like all good homilies probably should be. It takes Matthew and Luke over 20 verses to do what Mark does in 4. Jesus appears. He's baptized, he's driven out into the desert, he's tempted, then suddenly he's back proclaiming the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. 4 verses to move from baptism to desert and into his mission. And although we all want a sooner end to this winter, it's a temptation for us, I think, to want to move too quickly through Lent, to move straight from Ash Wednesday to Easter, to go right from that mountaintop experience, the proclamation of hearing that God is that you are God's beloved, into your own proclamation, into your own mission. It's a temptation that the church has struggled with, particularly as it relates to mission. If you think of the word mission or missionary, what comes to mind? Probably a variety of images, some maybe positive, some probably not so positive. We carry with us this baggage of several centuries of Christian missionary activity. Now, having studied Christian conversion and the history of missions in China, I can tell you that mission is a complex topic, because there are a variety of different outcomes that individual missionaries or mission societies might be seeking. Are you, for instance, simply out to win souls and convert and baptize as many people as possible? The evangelization of the world in this generation, which was the slogan of the student volunteer movement back in the 1920s. Well, that might result in a great number of baptized people, but not many well-trained and theologically grounded Christians. Or are you out to build the kingdom of God by doing good and building hospitals and schools, which may or may not end up in winning hearts and minds for Christ, and it might also end up westernizing an awful lot of the world, making people in foreign lands more like us? Kingdom building too often became empire building. So both evangelism and kingdom building have their pluses and their minuses. And once you've settled on a why you're doing this, you still have to ask, how do you go about mission? Do you encourage them, whoever it is that you're missionizing, to be more like us, to adopt our ways, our dress, our liturgy, our hymnody? Do you turn them into clients dependent upon charity? Or do you enculturate yourself? Do you adopt their ways, their songs, training them to become self-governing and self-supporting and self-propagating, which means giving up some control? We can probably all come up with both negative and positive examples of mission, of proclaiming the good news by word and example. And on those who focused too much on either the word, winning souls, or on the examples, building the kingdom. So in the mid-1980s, after the 19th century's imperialist tide had begun to recede, The Anglican Consultative Council, which is a group of bishops and clergy and laity from across the Anglican Communion, who meet every 2 years to facilitate the cooperative work of the churches in the Anglican Communion. In the mid-80s, they began meeting to think and pray about how to enact mission in the world that didn't slip into either of these two extremes. They recognized that neither evangelism nor social development alone were enough, and that neither one by itself does justice to the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and proclaiming the gospel to the ends of the earth. Making disciples requires more than simply baptizing people. Proclaiming the gospel requires more than simply exposing people to the word. Those are necessary but not sufficient tasks of mission. The temptation to move too quickly into saving souls or too quickly into development is a temptation to a partial good. All temptations are temptations to a partial good. And systemic evil and sin, what in the Bible is often referred to as the principalities and powers, too often emerge from the unintended consequences of well-meaning individuals moving too quickly from that voice in the clouds moment and directly into, I know what to do about this mode. And so the Anglican Consultative Council over the past 30 years has met numerous times to pray, to study, to debate and revise the five marks of mission, the current versions of which are printed in your insert on the front page. The five marks of mission have become widely accepted across the Anglican Communion as ways to gauge the scope, the validity, and the effectiveness of all mission activities. And while it's true that no one person or community can engage all of the marks of mission in their fullness, they're also not simply something that the larger church does without all of our help. The five marks of mission are also ways to help all of us think about how we are missionaries every day. Archbishop Tutu has said that we are all missionaries. By that, he says, he means that if we claim we belong to the apostolic way, which means that we are sent, then all the time, whether we like it or not, we are witnessing, either positively or negatively, to our faith. When we do well, then the glory returns to the church. And when we are doing badly, that too reflects on the church. So, without being too bombastic about it, and you have to imagine Bishop Tutu saying this, we are all missionaries, or we are nothing. Now, that may sound really daunting, but once you start to think about the ways that you, in your daily life, live out the marks of mission, it becomes a little bit clearer. A group of us spent part of Saturday afternoon doing just this. We've been thinking about how we live out the marks of mission in our own lives and here at All Saints. And later this morning, you'll be able to see some of those responses downstairs at the mission fair, and maybe you can add a few of your own. These are just a few of the things that we said yesterday. We live out the marks of mission when we teach our grandkids about birds, when we compost, ask for forgiveness, participate in the Mother's Day Walk for Peace, sit with someone in pain, shovel walks for others, participate in the Oasis Dinners, teach Sunday school, read to a child, welcome the stranger, participate in healing, invite a friend to church, share our faith on social media. Those are all ways that we live out the marks of mission. So I'd invite you to come to the mission fair and see how we here are living out the marks of mission. And I'd invite you to think about how you in your individual lives live these out. You know, it might be an interesting Lenten discipline and a way to prepare for the rite of reconciliation would be to use the five marks of mission as a frame for thinking of all of the ways that you have or haven't lived them as fully as you would like. Maybe where you'd like to stretch yourself. Maybe where it might be time to lay a particular burden down. It's true that we shouldn't rush headlong into things, but neither can we afford to be timid in proclaiming the faith that is in us, in both word and deed. What William Sloane Coffin said so many years ago remains true today, that the world is too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. Consequently, we are all missionaries. We need to be. Jesus goes before us, as he does always, and as he certainly does through the Gospel of Mark. Today, he begins his mission, but by the end of Lent, he will be commissioning us to go and do the same, to go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. May it be so. Amen.